Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Wednesday, July 15th, and on today's episode, we re-enter the land of make-believe. George Bleckchi is back on the show to continue to go through our one-game conference-only schedule. Yes, we know that if the Big Ten plays college football this upcoming fall, it will be a conference-only schedule. So George and I take that and move it even further, that if there was only one game that your team could play, match up against their biggest rival, bank a W you can hang your hat on all year, or just have the overall atmosphere of what would be a great college football Saturday during the fall, who would you want that Big Ten opponent to be? The one game only, conference only schedule continues on. We have to finish out the Big Ten West. We have two more programs in the Big Ten West division, and then George and I move over to the Big Ten East. So let's welcome back George Bleckchi to the Locked On Big Ten show starting right now. So we move down just two more teams in the Big Ten West to talk about. We start with the Purdue Boilermakers. George, who do you have Jeff Brohm and the crew playing in this one-game schedule for 2020?
Purdue, you're talking about in-state rivals. They take on Indiana.
Amen.
And it's two teams up and coming. Purdue's obviously been established much longer, but Indiana is another team that's a riser in the Big Ten. But for Purdue, like you said, what Jeff Brohm accomplishes, the offense that they run, they play high-scoring games. They'll wow you. They'll impress you. That's what Indiana's kind of striving for. But for Purdue, they got to defend their home state. And as good, there's a part of it where it's always in the Big Ten, you go, oh, yeah, Indiana has a football team. They've just been living in irrelevancy. And obviously, that helps out Purdue. Like, they're not going to take it for granted. But they go, hey, now that I'll use this comparison, this metaphor a lot, the little brother is starting to come up. Nope, we got to remind them, take a seat. It's not your turn yet. It'll never be your turn. We're going to play you, and we're going to beat you. And that's why Purdue picks Indiana.
I agree with your point there. I also have Purdue taking on Indiana, and I think they're both rising at a pretty similar trajectory right now. Indiana a little bit more established, at least last year, getting to 8 wins, and I think they are destined for the same thing in 2020. Purdue gets now back Rondale Moore and David Bell, and they have the assets to be a better team, as we saw in Jeff Brohm's first couple of years in West Lafayette. And again, we talk trophies, we talk rivalries, the old Oak and Bucket, another great name for a trophy. So that's why Purdue and Indiana have to face off in our one-game schedule. So, George, it's round out the Big Ten West.
What do you do with that bucket? What do you even do with that bucket?
You fill it up and drink with it? I don't know. There was a guy who I had on my show. He writes for Hammer and Rails, which is the SB Nation site for Purdue. His name is Drew Schneider. He is everybody's favorite blogger, as he likes to coin himself. And so he is my favorite blogger as well. One of his uncles, I believe, works for Indiana's athletic department, or was a former Indiana like big time football player, now a booster, one of those lines. But he has had the old Oak and Bucket at his Thanksgiving dinner table because the game is played and then they take it with them for Thanksgiving. So they do something with it. Maybe they fill it up with mashed potatoes. I'm not exactly sure.
Now I have to, the Land of Lincoln trophy I looked up, and it's a good trophy, but it's funny because if you look at it at the wrong angle, it looks like a tree stump with a bow wrapped around it. The old Oak and Bucket is now what I have to see.
I mean, I think
bad
it's
radio,
really
bad radio.
I think it's really just a bronze bucket.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, see, so I'm picturing a trophy and I'm picturing something you can't use. This is literally a bucket.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. Yeah. There's no way you should play anybody else. If you got to play one game of the year and you got to hold on to that bucket or earn it back, you got to go with the old Oaken bucket.
The old Oaken bucket. Also just a great name that rolls off the tongue when you are describing a trophy for a football rivalry. So one more team in the Big Ten West to talk about. That is the Northwestern Wildcats. Who do you have them playing? Who is their big opponent for this one-game battle, George?
They pick Illinois. So I go reverse of your prior pick and simply got to win the state, baby. We got to defend the state. This is our state. We've been here longer. Pat Fitzgerald's been working at it harder. They had a down year. But hey, you guys, we're going to beat you. You're our rival. We're going to hold on to it. And for now, what I know, that Land of Lincoln trophy, man, that thing's pretty.
Yeah. Now, I'm picking for Northwestern. They're going to take on Nebraska for many of the same reasons that you said Nebraska would pick Northwestern, because I think Northwestern sees that as a game that we can contend in, that shows that we are towards the top of the Big Ten West, which is such a deep division where they have people just battling for, you know, 5-6 wins year in and year out. And those games in the past, they have been great, great games. The last 4 meetings have been decided by a combined 15 points. Those are close games. 2 of those 4 games in the last 4 years have gone to overtime. So these Nebraska-Northwestern games are always really, really good football to watch. I think we would see the same thing in the 2020 edition. So I think Northwestern picks Nebraska for their one-game battle in 2020. So, George, all 7 teams in the Big Ten West are done. we now move to the Big Ten East. And now as I was compiling this list, the Big Ten East was a little bit easier for me. It was just like a lot of these games call out to each other. There's a little bit more longstanding rivalries in the Big Ten East, at least at the top. And of course, we start at the top with Ohio State. George, who do you have the Buckeyes playing?
Rhetorical question here.
Yeah.
Because you know it. They go with the big game, and they're going to take Michigan on. And of course, I mean, it's not only that's the best rivalry, in my opinion, in college football.
Mm.
But on top of that, it's Ohio State goes, we've won 8 straight against these dudes.
Yep.
We've won 15 of the last 16. And as I was saying before, with when it comes to Wisconsin and Minnesota, no game is bigger in the state of Ohio, everyone looks to, than that game. So if Ohio State has one game to play in 2020, and they can remind Michigan how inferior they are for their fan base and for Ohio State can do it for their fans, hey, you guys got one game to watch this year because of the circumstances we're facing. We got you guys. We'll give you the game that you want. That's why Ohio State picks Michigan.
I mean, I completely agree. My notes for this section was just the game. That's all I wrote, just the game. It is a rhetorical question. We all know Ohio State would take Michigan. Let's now fast forward to Michigan because they would also take Ohio State. You know, that's just how it's going to be. Not so fast. A not so fast Lee Corso edition from George Bletchley.
You got to. Yeah, not so fast, my friend. You have to remember they have one game to play a year. And talk about now, Jim Harbaugh was going to sign a contract before all this happened.
Right.
He has 2 years left. But what people always say, no matter what, was for Jim Harbaugh was, when's the last time he's beat a team? When's the last time he's beat Ohio State? He hasn't. As Michigan's head coach. So he's got to go with a rivalry game that he could say, hey, look, I beat that rival. Well, that's significant. So that's why Michigan picks Michigan State to play.
Oh.
He has a winning record against them. And like I said, when it comes to the end of the season, everyone plays their one game and the season's over. Why should Jim Harbaugh stay? Well, he'll go, well, I'm beating a rival. I beat the rival this year, the big rivalry game this year. And that's why they pick Michigan State.
I think Jim Harbaugh would maybe try to sell it like that. But I think for Michigan fans, it would mean nothing. I think a win over Michigan State for many years doesn't really mean a whole lot because talk about teams that you consider a little brother. Michigan considers Michigan State like the most little brother, like your like redheaded stepchild little brother. And for that reason, I just think Michigan would have to choose Ohio State. It's your Super Bowl. It's what you need to do. It's the only reason Jim Harbaugh will continue to be the coach in Ann Arbor is if he can eventually beat Ohio State. And that's what they have to focus on. I mean, that truly is. It's the game. You know, it's Michigan, it's Ohio State. And I think if the Wolverines were to put all of their this is kind of going to come back. It's a double-edged sword in a way. But if Michigan were to put all their focus on the Buckeyes, I think it would end up a little bit better for them. Like if they just could focus on one game on Ohio State, it might be a little bit better. But then you take that on the reverse end and you say, okay, Ohio State's only focusing on Michigan, so maybe, eh.
Yeah.
But I mean, what matters most to fans in Ann Arbor, to the fans of the Michigan football program, is that win over Ohio State. So if they were going to play just one game, they would need to see that game. They would need to see the game and hope for a win. Hope, because Michigan hasn't beat Ohio State since 2011. They are not successful in their last 8 tries. So you got to think, if they're going to focus on one game, it's got to be the game against Ohio State. That's just how I feel. That's just how I feel, George. Plenty more programs to dive into in the Big Ten East in this one-game-only conference schedule with George Bletchley coming up next.
Can you imagine if you're a Michigan fan that they're like, hey, we're playing one game. The only game you guys get to see this year is us playing Ohio State. Fans are going to be like, I'm not going to watch. Like, that's going to be my only memory. I'd rather have no football than see Michigan get their asses beat by Ohio State. That's what those fans would say, in my opinion.
You know, that very well could be the case. Now, you said Ohio State and Michigan, best rivalry in college football. Who are some of maybe the two other three best rivalries across the country that you would put up there with the Buckeyes and the Wolverines?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I mean, Alabama, LSU.
Yeah.
What it's become lately now. Now, for a while, it was kind of the same thing. It was a one-sided rivalry.
You now it's a shootout. Alabama. Now it's like an offensive shootout. We used to have 9-6 games. Now it's like 52-45.
I remember in like 2011, 2012, I was saying to my buddy, I'm like, that game, that was when, oh my God, I'm blanking out on his name. Running back, played for the Cleveland Browns, didn't even do well.
Trent
Richardson. Thank you.
Okay.
So in that game, I went to my buddy and they were just previewing it like earlier in the week. I was like, hey, like that game's going to come down to field goals. Like no one's scoring a touchdown. Defenses are so good. And sure enough, Bama won like 12-9. And yeah, now it's a shootout. It's amazing. Revolution of the game. And when both programs are good too, I mean, USC was trending upwards. USC Notre Dame is a great rivalry as well. Mm-hmm. And then, but it's funny because of how lopsided the ACC is, but I can see trending upwards now is Clemson, UNC. But you're saying the best rivalry, so that's nothing yet. And then when both teams are good, it's always when the teams are playing well, when you have Florida State and Florida as well.
Yep.
Those are good games too. So, but I think there's just no other game year in, year out. Red River rivalry, cannot forget about Texas, Oklahoma.
Right.
That's been one-sided too. To me, that's okay. As I went through them in my head, I would say one, the best rivalry in college football is Ohio State, Michigan. To me, two, right now, especially would be the Red River rivalry too, because Texas and Oklahoma, man, they love their football. They really do. So I think those are the best rivalries in college football.
I give you kudos, by the way, for just being able to rattle off Red River rivalry and just perfectly enunciate every point there and hit all of your syllables. I also think you missed one, though, and this is my number two, following Ohio State and Michigan, because I love the Big Ten. So that huge, just deep Big Ten rivalry is always at the top in my mind. But number two is Auburn, Alabama, the Iron Bowl. Just with what we've seen the last couple of years, I mean, it's just incredible theater year in and year out. I absolutely love it.
I was actually going to say it when you listen back to this podcast. I was about to say Alabama, Auburn. You cut me off to mention the offense, but I don't mind that at all. I'm happy you picked me up where I left off. And I'll say too, it's funny because I was in Big 12 country when I was in Joplin. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, we were doing one parade and we're throwing candy at people. You know, I like talking to people, whatever. As I'm doing, I kid you not, like within a 20-foot radius, I just see a guy wearing an Oklahoma shirt. I go, "Hey, Boomer!" He goes, "Sooner," throw him some candy or whatever. Walk a little further down. That guy can't hear me, see me anymore. I see someone wearing a Kansas Jayhawk shirt. So I go, "Rock Chalk." He goes, "Jayhawk." And I go, "I'm a man of the people. I'm a politician," I guess you'd say. Just, I'll say what you want to hear to a certain extent.
Kissing babies and throwing out candy. That's George Bilekci, if you remember anything from today's podcast. So we've done both Michigan and Ohio State for this schedule. Now let's focus on Penn State, the Nittany Lions. Who do you have them facing in 2020 in this one game, Big Ten conference only challenge?
It's a rivalry, or you got to say it's just a reminder. I keep saying little brother. I got to find a better reference than that. But Penn State will pick Rutgers.
Wow.
Because Penn State has a stronghold on recruiting in the state of New Jersey. There's a lot of good football talent that comes out of New Jersey.
Including George
Bilekci. No, that's not – I wouldn't even say talent. You know, it's just a product. There's a reason I left. They kicked me out. They wanted me out of there. But Penn State will pick it because that's one of their main pipelines for recruits. And then I have also that Rutgers would want to play them back because they want to defend their state. And if there's anything more Jersey than that, is to say, we will never get tired, New Jerseyans, the state of New Jersey, saying how we're the best state in the country. We're not. But we think we are. And so there's no better way to do that. If we got one game to play, we'll say it to those fans in Happy Valley at Penn State that says, we're going to play you, we're going to beat you, and we're going to prove we're the better team in the best state.
That was shocking to me. I thought of all the teams that you would pick for Penn State, I didn't think Rutgers would be up there. I understand the recruiting pipeline, and especially now with Greg Schiano, James Franklin better hold down New Jersey because Greg Schiano is going to come and recruit his freaking tail off as he has done time and again. But, oh, God, that would be an absolute slaughter in 2020. I mean, that'd probably be a 52-3 game, unfortunately.
That's why Penn State would pick Rutgers too, though. They go, hey, we'll beat their brains out and we'll win the recruits even more.
Now, for me, from an exciting perspective, I would think Penn State would go after Ohio State because it is the team at the top of the Big Ten East. And Penn State has been just looking barely on the outside in the last couple of years, barely on the outside of the college football playoff. They've won 11 games, 3 of the last 4 years. In those 3 years, they've made a New Year's Six Bowl. There we go. See, I can get Red River Rivalry, like my day job depends on it, but I can't say New Year's Six Bowl. Anyway, regardless, Penn State has made 3 New Year's Six Bowls. They've won 2 of those, but they have not made the college football playoff, and they desperately want to do that. That is the next step for James Franklin in his tenure in Happy Valley. And to do that, you got to knock off Ohio State. You just have to do it if you want to be at the top of the Big Ten East. And really, again, we know we're going to a conference-only schedule, but when you look at Penn State's schedule for 2020, this could be the year that they won 11 games, and even with a loss to Ohio State, they might still be able to possibly factor into the Big Ten conversation of being part of the college football playoff. So it's a real bummer. I mean, for everybody, it's a real bummer, but especially for Penn State as you looked at what they could have been capable of because the schedule was very favorable in 2020. But I still think for that reason, they pick Ohio State. It's the one game that would excite their fan base like no other. I can see it as a night game right now in Happy Valley.
White out.
Oh, just would be absolutely beautiful. That's what I'm going to go to sleep with tonight and dream about.
That's what you'll have. College football is better when Penn State is better. That's for sure. When they're one of the best programs in the country, it just makes the college football landscape so much more fun.
And the games against Penn State and Ohio State the last couple of years have been really good. I mean, 2019 was a little bit lopsided, at least Ohio State winning by double digits, but both 2017 and 2018 was a one-point game. You look back at 2017, the great game with JT Barrett coming back in. They win 39-38 on the last second play for the Buckeyes. I mean, it's been very competitive. It's been great football to see when we're actually looking on TV or on the gridiron. So for me, it's Penn State and Ohio State in 2020. So we've gone Michigan, we've done Ohio State, we've done Penn State. Let's move on now to Indiana in the Big Ten East. Who do you have the Hoosiers playing? Because, George, don't forget, Indiana does play football.
They do. I didn't forget that. Sometimes do. But Indiana, I have them pick as a reverse. I pick Purdue picking Indiana. Indiana picks Purdue for the same reason I listed before. There's a rivalry there. Both teams are on the same trajectory. Indiana has to prove themselves. And what more would their fan base want to see than them play the team from West Lafayette?
From a rational perspective, I absolutely agree with you. It's the old oaken bucket. It has to happen for Indiana and Purdue. But from my own personal vindictive point, a couple weeks ago, George, on this very podcast, Locked On Big Ten Show, I ranked Big Ten football programs in tiers. And I put Indiana and Michigan in the very same tier, with still the Wolverines being better than Indiana, but Wolverine fans were not happy with me, especially citing that matchup against Indiana and saying, we are so much better than this team. How could you even put us here? So I want Indiana in 2020 to take their shot against Michigan to, if anything, just prove me correct, because I think the Hoosiers want a chance at the top of the Big Ten East, and this could be a way of going about it. Indiana right now is a solid program that is on the rise, but they still need to prove a lot more. So to take down one of the three big guys in the Big Ten East between Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan, I think Michigan is the team that is most susceptible to that, at least as we look at 2020 in terms from a talent perspective. So if Indiana could do it, that would be great. That being said, Michigan has absolutely stomped on the Hoosiers the last couple of years, and I don't think they would be able to do it in 2020. So don't get mad at me again, Michigan fans, but that's just how I see it. And that's a personal, vindictive point of view for Indiana picking Michigan. Most likely they pick Purdue for the old oaken bucket. We round out the one-game-only conference Big Ten schedule, and George has a few more surprises up his sleeve. That's coming up next. So, George, you mentioned that you thought Michigan would play Michigan State. As we look at it from a Spartans perspective, who do you have Michigan State lining up against in 2020?
Michigan State picks Rutgers.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you want to beat Michigan. You want to get better than your big rival. You got to start going after the recruits. So you got to go after that New Jersey pipeline. I think Michigan State would beat Rutgers right now. It's two teams that are really low, so it's tough to tell. But I believe in Mel Tucker, and I believe in Greg Schiano, trust me. I think that'd be a good, entertaining game, two first-year head coaches for Schiano back in the Big Ten. But that's why I would pick Michigan State taking on Rutgers.
For Michigan State, for me, as the guys from Locked On Spartans told me, Will Hunter and Matt Sheehan, and they really preached this to me, that Michigan State would have most likely a down year in 2020 with a full schedule. But if they could win one game, it would be so much fun for them as a fan base to beat Michigan. It already is their Super Bowl, and if you were to put this in the one-game perspective, becomes their Super Bowl even more. So if they can pull it off, they have just absolutely trash-talking points and are able to laugh at Michigan for the next 10 years. So for that reason, I have Michigan State lining up against Michigan. I don't think the Spartans win that game in 2020, but I think they would pick it and focus all of their energy for what would be a great day in East Lansing in terms of a pregame festivities point leading up to their Super Bowl against their in-state rival. So two more teams in the Big Ten East. We start with Maryland. George, who do you have the Terps playing?
Well, and I'll make this easy on you. I have Maryland playing Rutgers.
Yep.
And Maryland picks them. We're both bad. Let's play and let's just get the heck out of here. We wish we weren't having a season, but hey, let's just play and let's get to the end of the game. That's it. That's what Maryland would do.
I mean, I have the same exact thing. I have both Maryland and Rutgers picking each other. They came into the Big Ten at the same time. They're both on kind of similar trajectories right now where there is some positives to highlight, but as we see it on the football field right now, the actual product, I don't know how great that will be in the next year or two, but I do believe in both Mike Loxley and Greg Schiano, and the way they're recruiting right now is fantastic. So maybe in a couple years, we reevaluate those matchups for this one game scenario, but I have both Maryland and Rutgers playing each other. George, finally, the Scarlet Knights, do you have them lining up against somebody other than Maryland?
I have them picking Penn State because Rutgers will want to prove themselves. We're better than you. We got one shot. We'll play you guys. We're tired of being beat up by you guys. And I'll tell you that the Happy Valley, so many kids like from New Jersey go to Penn State for college and they come back singing the high praises, act like it's the greatest place on the earth. Rutgers is tired of hearing about that. They want them to come into New Brunswick. They'll beat up on them, hopefully, and send them packing for their one win of 2020. That's why Rutgers would pick Penn State.
Like the 1980 Winter Olympics, the Soviets versus the Americans. Maybe there's a miracle there, but I don't really see that happening. regardless, George Bellecci, I mean, he's bringing you New Jersey State pride. He's giving you rivalries throughout the Big Ten. He is my guy. We are so glad that he is back on the Locked On Big Ten show, a sports reporter and anchor for NBC 15 in Madison, Wisconsin, in the heart of Big Ten country. George, thank you very much for enjoying this creative, fun ride of the make-believe land with me.
Thanks, Ben. It felt good to be back home.
So many thanks again to my good friend, George Bellecci, a sports reporter and anchor in NBC 15 in Madison, Wisconsin, right in the heart of Big Ten country. Everything you need to know, Wisconsin athletics, or even Big Ten overall related, make sure to give George a follow on Twitter, at George Bellecci. Last name spelled B-A-L-E-K-J-I. I think I got that right. George, if I didn't, I apologize. But it is at George Bellecci on Twitter, bringing you all the Big Ten information your heart could ever desire, right from the heart of the state capital of Wisconsin, Madison. Look at that, geography. My fourth grade geography never has left this brain. So as we look forward to the end of the week here on the Locked On Big Ten show, a couple more great guests that we will be bringing on in the future, the next forthcoming weeks, and that comes again on Friday. Have a great guest coming for you. I'm going to tease it right now. If I'm incorrect, I apologize, and I will go back and take this part out. But I believe it will be Ben Kenny, a writer for BadgersWire.com. He's going to come on with some hot takes about the Big Ten and what the future of college football looks like this fall. So if you've been enjoying what you're hearing here on the Locked On Big Ten show, make sure to give a listen to some of the other great podcasts. A lot of them are part of this Locked On podcast network, including in the professional ranks. We're talking a lot of football here on Locked On Big Ten. Why not talk football on the professional level with Locked On NFL? So tell your smart device right now to play Locked On NFL, and it'll do just that. So until we talk on Friday, have a splendid couple of days.